Well, how wonderful to see you. Thank you for coming, and how marvelous to see some people. So many people have told me that they're all working from home. I was beginning to wonder. And of course, when the service starts, there's almost no one here. There's normally Kev and Steve sitting at the back. And I just thought, I wonder if it'll just be Kev and Steve. And I turned around and said, hallelujah. There's more people, which is really very good. And thank you for coming, as you'll have seen. We've got advice, you know, the advice you receive from your bosses, from the Archbishops of Canterbury and York. So we're not shaking hands. We're not laying hands on people. When we pray for them, we're trying to be sensitive to that. So if we feel unfriendly, it's just so that we're just doing what we're told, really, in a kind of unusually obedient sort of way. But it is great to see you. And I'd love to read a few verses from Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. This famous passage. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, who was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up, touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. One of the many great aspects of being vicar of this church is that because I think we're working in the city, everyone feels able to be completely honest with me about how things are at any particular moment. On Friday evening this week, I was just thinking I might just go home and have a relaxed evening when someone who had been working in the city, now working in the West End, rang me up and said, "I've had an awful day. And before I had a chance to sympathize with him, he went on and said, "I needed someone to shout at." I said, "Oh, I'm so glad you rang me." And he said, "Yes, I'm glad you were there," and proceeded to harangue me about what an awful day he'd had. He talked about the pressures that he'd been under, the expectations that people had of him, how he was going to work from home next week because there were so many distractions in the office. He said, "Of course, that's what it's like in the real world." He said, "You wouldn't know that, would you, because you're in the church." I think, well, you know, whenever I go out into Lothbury, it seems fairly real, but I can see actually I'm just tucked away in a nice Christian cocoon, unaware of what's happening in the rest of the world. I agreed, obviously, because the thing you always do as a vicar when anyone's cross is agree with them. And then eventually, about 12 years later, you say, "Oh, I remember that time. I think you were wrong, but never mind." And all I could do when he had eventually paused was to sympathize and to pray. And, of course, I was praying from my cocoon, so I probably wasn't very helpful anyway. But anyway, he seemed quite happy, and he went off. And then the following morning, I read these particular verses, and I realized how the Lord Jesus would have understood the situation that that chap was going through, understood it entirely. But I rang him back. I gave 48 hours, rang him back on Sunday evening. I said how encouraging these particular verses were and how helpful he'd been in providing a story to open the sermon at the next Wednesday. He granted both. But we see here the Lord Jesus juggling actually quite a lot. We see the expectations of the crowd who come with him from Capernaum, not just his closest friends, his disciples, but it says in verse 11, a large crowd came with him. They'd been thrilled by the miracle that they'd seen him do in Capernaum, and they were clearly there thinking, what's going to happen next? This is really exciting. I hope that wasn't the last miracle we're going to witness. It could be really good, so we're sticking in with him. On top of that, of course, there was another large crowd coming towards them. And the distraction, not only of a second crowd, but also the noise of the crowd, because a funeral procession, so there had been professional mourners wailing and bashing drums and all that kind of noise that was supposed to be made in funeral processions in the first century. And all the time, with these two crowds, with all the noise, all the distractions, the expectations of the crowd that had come to Capernaum, the Lord Jesus was trying to focus on his Heavenly Father's agenda. No matter what else was going on around him, he wanted to be focused on that above everything else. And he was ready to do that because of two qualities that are displayed in the rest of this episode. His compassion was clear. In the first part of verse 13, we read, when he saw the mother of the young man who had died, his heart went out to her. A lot was happening around him. The pressures and expectations and distractions hadn't gone away. But nothing diminished this distinctive compassion. His heart went out to her. And with that, there was an unequivocal confidence in his Heavenly Father. He was surrounded by mixed motive agendas, faced by this terribly sad situation. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. But he had absolute confidence in his Father. Second part of verse 13, we read, don't cry. He had no doubt at all about the outcome of this encounter. He was bold because of his confidence in God. And as we see from the rest of the passage, he was right to feel like that. The young man was raised from the dead and returned to his mother. But the crowd's response was slightly unexpected, as we saw in verse 18. A great prophet has risen among us. And of course, they were thinking of Elijah and Elisha, each of which, as we know from 2 Samuel, had raised people from the dead. The crowd somehow realized and were feeling towards, as we saw in what they said, that in Jesus, God was visiting his people. They'd have been hard put to explain it, but instinctively they knew that this was right. After the weary centuries when the voice of prophecy had been quiet, silent, and they'd begun to wonder whether God had slightly forgotten about them, on that day they knew that he hadn't. And in the city today, the Lord Jesus Christ invites you and me to share the call that he displayed that day. It's through us that Jesus will visit this city, just as it was through Jesus that God came among his people that day. Of course, he understands our pressures, the expectations people have of us. I know about them. You needn't ring me on Friday and shout at me. I understand them completely. He knows the distractions that all of us face. But as with him that day, we are to be those who bring God into a situation. We are to those who bring life to other people. It's the most important thing we could do. And it starts with us seeing them with the same compassion that Jesus displayed again and again, and having the same confidence in his Heavenly Father. When that funeral procession set out that morning, no one could have even begun to imagine how the day would end. And it ended as it did, because Jesus kept focused on his Father's agenda. And he wants us to be those who do the same, whatever is going on around us. And it starts with saying, yeah, I want to be like that, Lord. And in order to do it, I need a fresh compassion and a constantly renewed confidence in you.